going to continue with our series on Ready for Revival. And today we're going to be looking at humility, the road to a burning heart. And it's not often we preach on this, and I found out this week why it's not often we preach on this. And because you kind of go through the mangle, and you'll see in a minute. But so we're going to look at what kind of people does God cause revival through. And so James 4:6 says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And so let's ask ourselves a question now, is have you got a humble heart, or have you got a proud heart? Or I wonder what your parents would say, or your wife or husband or friends would say. Would they say you've got a proud heart or a humble heart? And so a proud heart means, on that verse here, God opposes the proud, but grace to the humble, means that if you've got a proud heart, then you're continually getting in the boxing ring with God, and you're fighting God. Okay, you ever felt your life is like that? You ever felt like you're fighting all the time? It might just be that it's a humility that God is trying to work on you. And it happens to all of us. I've been there many times, and just realize, you know, it's time to lay my life down again and just come before the Lord. Or maybe you've got that humble heart. We're aware that God is fighting for you all the time. Where God again and again places it in your heart to realize that you're actually in the ring with God, but he's fighting for you, not against you. Proverbs 16:18 says that pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. And so we've got to be careful of pride. We've got to be careful of that stuff getting in. And I heard something funny on it the other day. There was Superman, and he's just overcome the powers of darkness. He's just won a mighty war, and he feels like to himself, I need a holiday. And so he books himself a holiday, feeling all proud of himself. And then he gets on the plane and sits down. He's got all his rigmarole on and all that. Superman is in the house. And he sat there, and then the air steward come up and went, excuse me, sir, can you put your belt on, please? And he leant back with his chest out and went, Superman doesn't need a seatbelt. To which she replied, Superman doesn't need an aeroplane. Put your belt on. Which I thought that was quite funny. And then there's other comments that people make, isn't there? Who is it? Muhammad Ali. He said this, it's hard to be humble when you're the greatest, which I thought was quite a saying. And the thing was that Muhammad Ali was the greatest in so many eyes. It's particularly mine. I remember Cassius Clay was called at one time, I think, and then Muhammad Ali. He was a fantastic boxer. What did he say? Float like a butterfly, sting like a bee. They couldn't catch the guy. He was so fleet-footed. He was amazing. And he was the greatest. But then he got Parkinson's, and now he is no more. And so the truth was, with the amount of people we got around the world, there was very few that actually thought he was the greatest. And it was only for a moment of time, just for a moment, he was the greatest, no more. And then in May 1911, we see the Titanic, an amazing feat of building. And so they built the Titanic, and then the newspapers proudly said, even God cannot sink this one. And the boat builder said, look, it's practically unsinkable. So they didn't bother to put too many lifeboats on, because they thought this is never going to happen. So proud they were of what they did. Yet on the first voyage, it struck an iceberg, and we know the story. 1,500 people died because of that. And I've got to be honest with you, this week and the week before, as I start to think about what God is going to say, as we talk about thinking about pride and how that affects us. And so I've really been through the mangle myself. I've really been through it. And honestly, thought, why have I got to preach on this? And then suddenly I realized a couple of days ago, do you know what? I think it's done me a lot of good to realize that there are areas in my life that I am not what I thought I should be, that there's still room for growth. Have you ever come across someone with a gift of pride, a gift of humility? I thought I was, honestly thought I was a humble guy till I met someone with that gift and I thought, wow, look at that. Look at that person. And so, but what I did 2 days ago when I realized that it was doing me good, I actually prayed, God, will you humble me? Because I have felt the goodness of this. And I challenge you all, have a go at it. It doesn't mean your life is going to get easy, but as you go through the process, we come out such better people. So have a go at it. So who is it then that God uses to bring revival? Who is it? I've been in revival, and I remember with a guy called Todd Bentley, tattooed everywhere. Absolutely the guy, you would never think so. Why would God do it through him? And it was a true revival till he fell. A massive outpouring of the Holy Spirit. I don't know. God chooses at the end who he will. But generally, when we look at them, there was Numbers 12:3 said, Moses was the most humble man in the world. Moses. And look at the revival came about through him. An amazing revival. And see, what happened is that God saw his humility, called him out. He called him out. And suddenly he got to see God face to face. And it shone so much, the presence of God on him, that he had to hide his face because of it. And then out of that came a massive revival and freedom for God's people. And then we look at in 1737, a guy called George Whitfield. He prayed this. You know, he was on his knees. This is what meant that was so important to him. He prayed out, God, will you give me a deep humility? Not just praying for humility, which can be painful, but a deep humility that he would know that. Give me a single eye, that I'm not running off here, there and everywhere, doing everything I can apart from worshipping you. I want a single eye. And God answered him. And he set his heart ablaze. And then what we saw with Whitfield, he went around Europe and the USA, lighting fires of gospel power everywhere. Churches planted, hundreds of thousands of people coming to faith right across, bringing new life right at a time when Christianity was waning. It was drifting. It was becoming not the thing anymore. And then suddenly life burst into flame because of this guy who had a humble heart. And then if you've never heard of a guy called David Brainerd, look him up. He was a real humble preacher working along the Delaware Indians. And he was a massive example of humility. I mean, he didn't have it easy. So much went wrong for him. So much, but he was faithful, he was good, he stayed close to God in the bad times and the difficult times. He was just one humble guy. And then suddenly something happened in his heart. God set ablaze to that man's heart, and he said this. Try to picture what this would have felt like for him. When I was walking along a dark grove, and suddenly unspeakable glory seemed to open up in my soul. It was such excellency, such beauty I saw. It was divine glory. My soul rejoiced with joy unspeakable to see such a divine being. My soul was captivated and delighted with his excellencies, his loveliness, his greatness, and his other perfections, the other perfections of God. It felt like I was swallowed up in God. Can you imagine what that would feel like? I mean, we get a touch of God. We get a sense of God when God comes close to us. And I've been powerfully on the floor, which I'm sure some of you have as well, where God just comes like that. But this is something amazing. Absolutely God. It felt like he'd been swallowed up in God. And then he went from there to carry out a revival amongst the Indians, amongst Delaware. Again, people just coming to Christ, getting their life right with God. It was an amazing time there. And so does anyone in here, would you like a burning heart today? Can I hear an hallelujah if you do? Come on, we want burning hearts, so we don't be boring Christians. We want to be full of life, full of joy, bursting out from us. That's what God wants from us. But humility is the pathway to get there. And so what is humility? Well, let's look at what it's not first. Humility is not weeding out. It's not belittling ourselves. It's not a facial expression. Oh, woe is me. I'm nothing. I'm a worm amongst men. It's not that. That's fake humility. That's false humility. And to be honest with you, when you're of the Spirit and you meet someone like that, it makes you feel inside, it's fake. We don't want that. I'm reading a book at the minute called by David Bob, who says this: look, no one is naturally humble. It doesn't come to us easy. He said this, that pride comes as easily as sleeping or putting a smile on your face. And it's true. And so humility is not thinking less of yourself, is thinking of yourself less. Jesus said this. He said, deny yourself. And so we have this power, this kind of self that rises up and wants to be seen and wants to be the main man, the main woman, to be seen as big. And God says, no, you kill that. You put that down. It's a painful process. I can tell you guys, we've all got it, that ego that rises up. And we've got to say no to that if we want the glory. Does anyone in the house want glory? Come on. We want that more than anything. Well, we have to deny ourselves, as Jesus said. Deny ourselves. But it doesn't mean putting ourselves down. It doesn't mean that. It means lifting others up. We are to be lifted up of others. That's what we are to be. Lifting up our friends, our family, our neighbors. Lift them up. Do good to them. No, humility, true humility, is being honest about our strengths and our weaknesses. And so I'm sure everybody here, you've got strengths. There's stuff that you can do and there's stuff you can't do. But you're not to lie or pretend you can't do the good things that God has placed in you, the skills you've learned and all that. We're to be proud of that. There's a rightful pride. There's a yes. You know, Sam's learned how to do drums. Well done. You don't have to pretend, no, you don't really. No, they do. Lloyd doing the worship. Yeah, we're to be okay with that. We're to be ourselves. This is who God has created me to be. He's put that skill in me, and I've learned that, and I'm functioning in that. Praise God. But we're also at the same time aware of our weaknesses. Our weaknesses, the things that we're not really good at, the things that we struggle with. And that's okay to struggle. We say it again and again. Is you're not okay? I'm not okay, but that's okay. Be honest with yourself. Be honest with God and ask for his help. Do not be fake. Don't be that. You know, over the years that I've learned this. I've learned to be myself with my friends. I've learned to be myself with my family. I don't have to be someone else. I've learned to be myself with leaders. Have you ever met someone who, when they meet a bigger leader, becomes someone completely and utterly different? You think, what's happened to them? You know, they become something to, because they got a bigger leader there. I remember when we went to see R.T. Kendall, and I love R.T. Kendall. Me and Tony, we seemed to be on the opposite end of the scale, and Tony was straight up there with R.T. And shaking his hand, and I was shaking inside. Because this guy was such an awesome man of God, and I was getting to meet him for the first time, and I struggle a lot with leaders that are bigger and that over the years, but thankfully I've got some bigger leaders around me now that are helping me with that, and I'm feeling much more comfortable in them. So I'm not, you know, I have weaknesses as well, guys, But it's just being honest about it and praying, God, will you help me? He's put a couple of people to help me with that. Don't diss them if they're trying to help. It's no, you listen to them and copy what they do, follow what they do. Oh, this is how you do it. Or that's how you relate. But how are you? And particularly with strangers. I'm myself, I'm the same person with a stranger. I don't sort of like, keep at a distance till I know you, till I've seen you a little bit, till I know a bit. No, love them as if they're your brother, your mother, your sister. Love them. And that's what makes it easy to share Jesus when we behave in that way. And all you're doing is being yourself. That's true humility. All your strengths, all your weaknesses, we're all a work of God. But be yourself and you will attract people to you. James 4 says this, as we've heard. God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. And so God hates pride. He hates arrogance and ego. And wherever I start to be prideful, I know that God starts to nudge me about that. You're exaggerating, you're doing that thing again. And I start to realize that I'm in the ring with God again and he's not on my side, he's opposing me, and I have enough wisdom now to know that I'm gonna lose that one. And so I correct myself. But how about you when that stuff starts to happen? When you tell a story and the fish wasn't that big, it was that big. Yeah, well, you know, that sort of thing can happen to all of us. Yeah, where are you in that? You see, the world's value system says this. The world's value system says the more money you've got, the more important that you are. Yeah, the more followers you've got, the more important you are. The more position that you've got, the more important that you are, the greater person that you are. But Jesus didn't say that. Jesus said the more people you serve, the more important you are. And so it's good to examine ourselves, guys. You know, it's as we give ourselves away, as we give our life away, our money away, ourselves away to other people, what we find is that God blesses us. He comes and gives us more joy, more finances come our way, more honors come our way from God. His presence increases upon us. His anointing increases upon us. And the fire of God starts to burn within each one of us, each one. And what I have learned as pastor over years is this, is that those that are tight, it's like, see that? If you are tight with your money and your friendship and everything else, God gets tight with you. And things close down. Things start to shut up. They go like that. But if you're generous with your time, money, and everything else, you find that life opens up. And I know this is an uncomfortable message to give. That's why we don't always want to give it. But the truth of it and the fruit of it is the more generous we get, the more generous God gets with us. Me and Debbie have learned over the years. It's just we sink ourselves in God and we look back at what he's done. It's like, wow, God, look at what you've done. Look where you've taken us from and what you're doing now. And look what is going to come. It's going to be amazing. And God wants us to be those that are generous in life. And so how are you doing? Do you feel that you've got a humble heart this morning? I wonder. How is it, so when we finish, you see, God tests us all the time on this. You ever wonder about that? That God does, he tests each one of us. And so when you get up to come out of here today and you see a cup that Linda hasn't picked up or something, do you think to yourself, look at Linda, she's not doing her job properly. But I'm too important to do that. I've already done my bit. I'm not doing any more. That's for the lesser people. Is that what goes on in our hearts? Because it can. Or we see the pack away team and they're struggling to get because one or two down to that. And we think, yeah, I'm above that. You know, I'm the preacher man. I don't do any of that. You know, that's for them, not me. Well, the same principle when you're at work or when you're at home. Someone hasn't done the washing up. Do you just walk past? In our house, me and Debbie, we have our own jobs to do, and I generally, honestly, work out how tired Debbie is, and if she's looking tired, I'll make sure she doesn't do some of the stuff that is usually hers, in whatever way that is. That's the way it is. So what about yourself? Let's check ourselves in that. You see, it says in Proverbs 6 that a haughty eye God hates. It's one of the six things that he hates. And the idea is not to dwell on that, is to get on the good side and see the good that God will do once we learn that one. And so, what about grace? What is grace? And so grace is this. There's many explanations for it. Grace is the power to become a different person. Grace is the power to behave completely differently to what the world behaves, totally differently. And so God gives grace to the humble. So if we want to get into that, get stuff we don't deserve, isn't it? We get what we don't deserve in a good way. It's humility that takes us there. God gives grace to the humble. So what does it look like in our lives? Well, grace means that we forgive when we really don't feel like it. We make up when we don't feel like it, particularly with our wife, husband, friends. You know, when me and Debbie first got married, you know, we tell people, we used to fall out a lot, right? And I used to sulk a lot because it was always Debbie's fault. You know that, guys, didn't you? Yeah, always Debbie's fault. And I used to want to reason it out, rationalize it out, and so it never happens again. And that isn't the right way to approach these things as a married couple. And what we've learned over the period of time, it's just not worth holding on to that pride. I got it right, you got it wrong. You ever met someone who thinks that everything they say and do is right? Yeah? They're a complete nightmare. You don't become that person. Yeah? We all start off in life thinking we are, and then life tends to teach us not. But we learned that. And now it's just a few minutes. But we do fall out. Now that's one thing. It's okay to fall out. It's not just okay. It's important that you fall out and learn to fall out well. Because you're two different fallen people. You're never going to have it perfect. Never. But you agree, okay, when life happens and we don't see things the right way, it's okay for you to see it that way. It's okay for me to see it this way. But we're not going to fall out over it. It's okay for that. You learn to fall out well. But humility comes and grace comes when we get along with others that are very different from us. Like we saw yesterday, a real difference in everybody there. Because the truth is, we all need grace. Because we all upset some people. Some people more than others. And some people seem to have a spiritual gift in that area. Yes, you keep me busy, guys, sometimes. And that keeps me humble, I must say. But it's the pathway to an ignited heart and revival in your life, in the life of your family, in the life of London, and however God wants to do it. It comes through humility. Philippians 2:3 says this, that don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. You know, it makes people cringe. We should never do that. It says be humble and think of others as better than yourself. And so everything we do in life comes from this little story we've got in our head of how big we are, how mighty we are, how wonderful we are. And if we're playing it all the time, it's wrong. It's wrong. You know, we've got to start dialing down from that and saying, no. It is about Christ. It's about what he's doing, he's done, and will do in my life. You get some that would say, well, you haven't noticed me yet. How comes I haven't had promotion? How comes you haven't done this with me or that with me? Again, it's pride. The Bible says, humble yourself and God will lift you up. You don't want anyone else lifting you up, because they'll lift you up until it doesn't suit them, and then they'll ditch you. That's life, guys. But no, we humble ourselves. You know, and what we can fall under is Revelation 11, where Satan goes to work. He is the deceiver of the brethren. Problem is, when you're being deceived like that and you're thinking too highly of yourself, it's the deceiver. And that's the problem with deception. You don't understand that that is how people perceive you. This is what's happening in your heart. We've got to kill that. I spent many years, guys, thinking I was it. I did what I want, when I wanted, how I wanted, with who I wanted, regardless of the destruction and the cost of it all. And there was always an outcome. And it was like, I don't care. I'm just going to do exactly what I want to do. It's all about me. I want to do this. It's not, it's all about you, Jesus. It turns into, it's all about me, Jesus. And it's me, what I want, my, all that stuff going on. And actually, we don't hardly recognize it. And you know what? It leads to pain for those around you. Those spiritually discerning, it's like, pain for the family, pain for us, emptiness. And what you're doing, you're in the ring fighting God, blockage after blockage. This doesn't work. That's gone wrong. It's live and you're out crying. Why, God? Why? Because pride has risen up and you again are doing, it's all about me, Jesus, and all that. Don't do it. I learned not to. I learned it doesn't lead to happiness. It doesn't lead to me enjoying life. And so I find it so much more fulfilling now, seeing what we saw earlier. You know, I've stood alongside this guy for years, and it's taken years, guys, I can tell you. You know, some people learn quick, all right? No, it's like, it actually has been great to work with. But now what we've placed, and not just me, a lot of us have placed stuff into Sam, and now he's teaching Emmanuel. That's joy. Did you know that? That's where the joy comes from. When we're building into others, when we're seeing others rise up, when we rise up ourselves, it's like a fleeting moment when you see someone else doing what you've taught them to do and being part of that. That, honestly, it gives you such joy in your heart. And right now, God is doing an amazing work. Particularly at the minute in the Alpha course, we had an amazing thing going on yesterday God is just doing something. I don't know what was going on yesterday, but started with a men's meeting where we had the men's breakfast, and there was just a buzz, a presence of God that was just wonderful. And then yesterday with the ladies coming together, with us churches, Islington and Basildon working together, there's something happening there. With Trinity and the other guys as well, there's something of a fire going. And there's a few that are red hot coals. I don't want to mention names, but Tony and Colin are two of them. Yeah. And they're just kind of on fire. And you know how fire works. Moses was one and then it went from there. Yeah. David Brainerd won and it went from there. Guys, it's for us to catch the fire, to be amongst them. And I was praying out to God the other day, and I had a dream, and it was like this fire coming upon us. And he's the one. You know, God, you are the one who promised it. Holy Spirit, your presence and fire. So it's not we're making this stuff up. It's a promise of God. And I saw the fire coming on us. And there were some that it was easily caught like. And there were some that were humming and hawing. Well, I'm not sure whether this is God or not. You know, when I was in a revival in the States, we had people coming in. There were people coming in. Normal Christians we call revival police. They would stand there with hands like that. And they would decide whether this was God or not. And I remember people were getting prayed for and God was swallowing them up in God like they did with Brainerd. That was over. They was having a whale of a time with God. While these people were standing there going, well, they really don't know whether this is God or not. And actually gave bad reports about it. But I was there and I know it was God. And so this fire was catching people up from every angle. Those that were really hot and ready for it, those that were resisting it because it wasn't quite the way they thought or it wasn't through them. Everybody was getting caught up in this fire of God with their hearts coming alive in Him. Does everyone in the house want that? Yeah? Come on. Honestly, God, there's no reason why God wouldn't do it today like He's done it with McQuilkin and the others, the Moravians, the Hebrides, Lowestoft and what happened there. And it's happening all around the world. South Korea, China. China, look at that one. 1 million people, I think it was at the beginning of the last century, and now it's got 100 million. 100 million. And it's growing fantastically every day. There's revival happening everywhere. Why wouldn't God do it with us if we just cry out for that? And so we need to become humble. And so one tip, how do we become humble? Okay, and then we'll finish. Become grateful. Grateful for who God has created us to be. There's so much good in every person here. You are special. What I'm trying to do with all of us, we've got this special side and this grumpy, grotty, kind of prideful. It's cut that away and become fully who you are. That's what I'm trying to do. The Word of God goes and it separates bone from marrow and sinews and all that. It will do His work as we preach this. You are doing a good job sitting there under this. Because it will help you. But as we're thankful for what God has done, families He's given you, houses, cars, just waking up. He's given you gifts that He wants you to. Doesn't just want you to sit there and be thankful, I'm alive today. He wants you to do what He's placed in you. Christ is in you and He wants to do something. When have you ever read that Christ just sat and did nothing? Even then He was praying to God. That Jesus inside wants to do something. He wants to be active wherever He's called you. You don't have to be preachers. Don't want that unless God has given you that. Because it's a nightmare. Every week you have to come up with something new. And it's like, God, what are you going to give me? And then He comes. And then it's like, now I can't wait to give this. But it's every area of life. He wants His kingdom to spread. But when we're thankful to Him, thank you, God. Thank you for the food. Thank you for friendship. Thank you for bacon and eggs yesterday. Thank you, God. Anyway. And it's all leading up to the greatest revival that we will ever see, ever. And that's when Jesus returns before, and we're all gathered up before the throne of God. He will be sitting there. People from every tribe, tongue, nation, from around the world will be gathered around Him. And verse 9 says, it was the humility of Jesus because He humbled Himself. Verse 9, read it there. Humbled in obedience that every single knee will bow before Him. Whether it's Muhammad Ali or the people that built the Titanic or Putin right now, they will be on their knees before Jesus. And why? Not because He's so great and holy, because He was humble. And that led Him to be the God that we worship now that is seated on that throne. That's the way to grace and to all that God wants us to have, that burning heart. Do you know, I've lived life long enough and a Christian life long enough. I do not want normal Christianity anymore. That thing that we've inherited is not. The normal Christianity is absolutely supernatural, guys. That we're to overcome. You have power to overcome everything in life. Nothing is impossible for you. Do you really believe that? That's what the fire does. The dunamis power. That's what He wants for us. Humility. Be humble. Cut free from all this rubbish this side. I am so good. It's all about me. We've all got it. You stamp on that one and come out on this side. I'm so thankful, God, for what You have done. Everything I am is because of You. Everything I'm going to be is because of You. I'm getting out of the way. And I just want You to do what You will do in my life. Moses did it. And God delivered His people. We'll be telling that story for all eternity. Whitfield did it And God lit him up, and he went through revival fires right across the continents. David Brainerd did it, and he had an encounter with God where he totally felt engulfed and swallowed up in God, and he brought revival to the Indians. Maybe you're that guy. Maybe we're the ones today that could bring it to our neighborhood. But it comes through humility.